Welcome to 5000 to 1, the Athletics Leicester City podcast. And I start this week by bringing in my co-host, Matt Elliott, by saying, Matt, Leicester City are top of the Premier League. Can you believe that?
I know. Well, yes, is the answer to that question, because as we know, strange things are possible at Leicester City and the King Power Stadium. Unusual things occur sometimes in this neck of the woods, and they're happening again.
Well, it feels all so surreal, really, because at the start of the season, there was a lot of negativity around the way they collapsed at the end of last season, the injuries that they started to pick up and went into this campaign with still, and the perception that they didn't do enough transfer business in the window. Then you looked at their fixtures, Man City away, Arsenal away, you got two of the newly promoted sides away as well, and you thought, wow, it's going to be really, really tough. But they've done so well as well, and 100% record in Europe as well. And Braga last week, they absolutely annihilated them, and they're a side that had won six on the trot in Portugal. It has been remarkable.
It has. You have to say that, don't you? Because for those reasons you just mentioned, it was going to be too much of an overload, really, for the supposed perceived lack of depth in the squad. You know, those questions have been answered in full, haven't they, so far? There was the little, I say blip, you know, the disappointment against West Ham and Aston Villa. And I think that was a little bit of, not a wake-up call, but I think it helped sort of tune the focus a little bit. And I think they took their eye off the ball in that West Ham game in particular. I think they thought they'd had a few good results, good start to the season. But since then, they've realised, you know, you have to be on your top game to get results. But when you do, yeah, there's still the sort of lingering doubt about how effective they'd be if Vardy wasn't in the starting lineup. Although they've coped with that, you know, even when he's been rested, certainly in European football. And at the moment, everything's going swimmingly, isn't it? But I think certainly Brendan Rodgers and most of the players are old enough and wise enough to know that it's not necessarily going to be plain sailing and, you know, go quite as well as it has done lately for the rest of the season. There's got a lot of hard work to be done, but the capability is there for them to have a tremendous season, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Somebody mentioned to me, they described Leicester as a well-oiled machine. Now, for my mind, they're a well-oiled machine with a number of key parts missing, with the Ndidi out, Soyuncu out, Pereira out, Castagna's been missing. We've had Vardy missing a couple of games. We've had Maddison easing his way back in after injury. Credit to the lads that have stepped up to the plate, and credit to Brendan Rodgers with his tactical switches as well. But certainly those players, I mean, James Justin's played on the left, he's played on the right, he's played part of a back three, and he's done superbly well. Christian Fuchs has done a great job. Papi Mendy's done a great job. Michael Brighton's come in and played a few games at right wing back. The lads, we did have concerns about a lack of strength of depth or lack of quality in depth in this Leicester squad going into the season. But the lads that have been on those fringes that you probably wouldn't throw into the first choice 11 when everybody was fit have certainly stepped up to the plate, haven't they, Matt?
Oh, yeah. Literally, those individuals you mentioned and more, like Sir Chowdhury and Thomas, I'm not sure if you mentioned him or not there, but they've come in, and in normal circumstances, there may be one or two of the fringe players, if you like, for want of a better word, may be required. But it's been four, fives and sixes at times, and it's got to the point where the quality of those players hasn't been missed, really. And you know, for that to happen, for the amount of players that have been required, you know, sort of semi en masse at times, pretty much any other team in the league, you would have expected a downturn in results and performances. And you've seen neither. It's not as if Leicester have just been hanging in there and, as we used to all those years ago, grind out results. They've been impressive as well. The way they've marshalled the games, controlled them the majority of the time, and, you know, adapted tactically as well, you know, within games themselves. And it's incredible, really. You know, they're in a groove and a rhythm with it. But also it helps them. Like this time last year, Leicester were playing really attractive football, weren't they? And they were playing in that 4-1-4-1 system, if you like, which had a bit of flexibility to it itself. But they played one way the first half of the season, and they were very good at it, and it just clicked. All of a sudden, the rhythm wasn't quite there, or they slipped down a gear, and they didn't really know how to get back into that groove, if you like. But with it, with the system as it is, I think they know what they're doing. It's almost like the game's preordained at times.
Well, the last game, Wolves, summed up the season for me in many ways. I mean, they look sharper than Wolves. I mean, we were expecting Wolves to be a stern challenge. They defend deep. They were almost ripe to upset Leicester in many ways, the way they set up tactically. But Leicester just outplayed them, I thought, in the first half. But it was the deciding factor was penalties. Now, we talked about the incredible nature of this season, not just for Leicester, but across the whole of the Premier League, some of the results that we've been seeing. But a phenomenal stat that's come out of Leicester's start to the season is the number of penalties they've been awarded. 8 in 8 Premier League games this season, 9 in all competitions. The last time a team got to 8 in such a short time was Manchester United. It took them 16 games to get 8 penalties awarded in their favour, and that was last season. Leicester have done it in 8. Now, there's a number of reasons. I've done an article that's on the Athletic website now, and you can still subscribe for just £1 per week by going to theathletic.com/Leicester pod to read it, where I've tried to explain why I think they get these large number of penalties. And I think it's the number of bodies they get into the box, the intricate play around the area, the players that are very, very sharp and quick and can get in behind defenders and draw the contact. Now, that evoked another debate on social media and certainly on the comments page on The Athletic as well, certainly from fans of other clubs, some rival clubs, who might suggest there's more Machiavellian ways that Leicester City are winning these penalties, Matt. But I can only really think the Kilman one, which ultimately led to the winner against Wolves with the handball on young Kilman, which I thought was a harsh award. Besides that one, all the other ones, I can't see really a lot of conjecture about. In all those cases, Leicester player got the ball and they were taken out or pushed or tripped or barged into. I can't really see a lot of debate about those penalties, but I'm sure people will have other opinions. What do you think?
What were the conspiracy theories, Robert, in terms
that they of dive. That they dive, that it's cheating. It was quite a few of them saying. I mean, I suppose there's very much old school attitude that, you know, this differentiation between contact and non-contact. Now, if there's no contact and you go down, that is diving, that is cheating. But if you run across a defender, I mean, you've probably experienced this so many times, the best strikers, when they get in behind a defender, will run, purposely run across your line of run to either stop you from running, to put you out your stride so you lose ground, or to draw contact. Now, is that cheating?
No, not that instance that you've just mentioned there. And I'm just trying to wrap my brains through the season and have to be in agreement with you that pretty much all the penalties are certainly worthy of being given, if not necessarily stonewallers, but against Manchester City. Three penalties in one game, and you're thinking, oh, how is that? You know, how does that occur? But it's because, and they were valid penalties as well. I didn't hear too many complaints at the time.
All three were very similar, Matt. There was the Vardy one where Kyle Walker, he gets across to Kyle Walker and he catches him. Then it was Garcia on Vardy for the second one. Then it was Mendy did the same on Maddison. You know, defenders just getting too tight in the wrong positions.
And the Leicester player, the attacker, was always, from the defensive point of view, the wrong side of the defender. You know, there wasn't really any contentiousness about any of the decisions. And I'm more tend to lean with your argument there. You know, Leicester get, at times, an amazing amount of bodies in the box. So in that particular instance, regularly against Man City, you saw both wing-backs in and around the penalty box at the same time, plus the other attacking players, of course, and Man City couldn't handle them effectively. And similar with other teams. You know, any sort of arguments against, I didn't know if people were saying, you know, like Man United, they get favourable decisions, etc. But
oh, that was mentioned as well.
Exactly. That's certain. Why would Leicester get favour in that department? I don't know. So let me see the argument there. But I put it down, even with Man United, I put it down to, you know, over the course of time, or then historically, perhaps, well, in recent times and then not so long ago, you know, when they really were a force, they used to get a lot of penalties, but that's because they have a lot of play in dangerous areas, etc. You know, it's commonsensical, really. Leicester have been doing the same. Even if Leicester are not dominating games in terms of possession, which sometimes they do, other times don't, again, shows flexibility to their play. But when they do, they really do it purposefully and, you know, with a clinical aspect to their game. You know, they cut through defences, and defenders are just struggling to deal with it on occasions. You know, Jamie Vardy's as sharp as they come, in two senses of the word, you know, physically, but also he's switched on, isn't he? He knows when contact can be drawn, as you say there, what positions to be. And, you know, he's not slow to go down, but with the laws as they are these days, he's within his rights, and he's very clever at it. He sort of draws the contact a little bit, but at the end of the day, he's outdone his opposition defender. But it's not just Vardy, is it? It's coming from different areas. I'm with you as well on Kilman. I did think that was debatable. It was harsh, but again, as the rulings are, you semi-expect it to be given. Now, for me, it's just a sign that how much good play that Leicester are producing, and they're cutting defences open, defenders are struggling to deal with them.
Well, you mentioned there about the fullbacks, and Tom Warville, my colleague, has done an article, and he has examined Leicester's starts this season. And one of the things he has identified is the ability of the fullbacks, or wingbacks, as they have become over the course of the season so far, their ability to get into the penalty box. Now, if I said to you, Jamie Vardy had won four of those penalties, James Maddison had won two of those penalties, if I then said James Justin had won the other two that were given from open play, would you be surprised?
No, because I can remember them. But ordinarily, yes. I mean, James Justin is, you know, he's featured quite heavily in terms of a couple of assists or some that haven't resulted in goals. He's provided chances and pinched the goal himself, hasn't he? He missed a couple of opportunities as well. And him and Castagna, when he was playing, it was evident, I think you saw from quite early on in the season. To me, that's a marked change, I think, from last year. I think whilst the wide players, the full-backs, stroke wing-backs, did get forward semi-regularly, not to such a degree as they are this season. And they still pick and choose the right times and balance it off well. But I think they're given licence to more. And I think a minor indication of the positive approach is quite often the left-hand sides, or the outside centre-backs of the three, Fofana maybe, or Fuchs, they're both taking the throw-ins as well in advanced areas up the pitch. Instead of, you'd think typically the right wing-back might take, you know, a throw-in 20 yards past the halfway line in your position's half. You know, and centre-halves just sit and hold. But that's a sort of sign of intent as well. It pushes the wing-backs further on, and then hopefully play develops and they're in and around the attacking phase. Justin, he gets four. What an athlete he is, by the way. And so is Castagna, and Thomas is not far behind when he's played. And obviously Ricardo to come. Again, the list is endless a little bit, because Albrighton comes in and does exceptionally well, doesn't he? And yeah, everything's flowing for Leicester at the moment.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
One of the players that everybody seems to be talking about at the moment, and he's only just recently joined the club, Wesley Fofana. His performances, well, Brendan Rodgers said after the Wolves game that he's a 19-year-old playing like a 29-year-old at the moment. Everybody's been talking about him on the press bench. Those that don't see Leicester on a regular basis like we do, have been so impressed with this youngster. I'm sure you have been too.
I mean, Brendan Rodgers is probably reluctantly paying him compliments, because I suppose he's at the point where, you know, even already, where you can't keep it a secret, can you? When he's playing as well as he is, and Leicester top of the league, you're going to get focus and attention. He's got all the physical attributes, okay, to take them aside. Impressive, two impressive things that stand out for me is, one is reading of the game in terms of when to go tight, when to drop off, when to hold, when to track a runner, and, well, three, in fact, also his communication. However limited or not, his mastery of the English language is, I don't know, but it's good enough, that's for sure, because He's passing on information. You could see when he played in the middle of a three, you know, he's the leader in there. And he's organising and directing his teammates around him. And, you know, they take their shape off him, etc. But thirdly, the biggest thing really sort of makes me think that how good a player he will actually be, a big an influence he will be. It's his character and his personality, because he's there, he's laughing and joking, he's part of the squad. He's not a young lad on the edges who's gradually being accepted. He's part and parcel of it already. He's in the mix, and you know the other players know how good a player he is. There was one little instance at the end of the game against Wolves, and pretty much the last minute of injury time, last chance saloon for Wolves, cross comes in, Schmeichel claims it, and then he throws himself on the floor by a bit of time. Fofana's there. He's sort of half smiling, joking, tapping Schmeichel on the back of the head on the floor as if to say, "Well done, son." He said, "Like, you know, that'll see us through to the end of the game." And he's patting the captain, you know, on the back of the head, and as if to say, "Like, good lad," sort of thing. And then Schmeichel will take it off him because he knows the quality of the player. You know, it wasn't unwarranted cockiness. It was just he's in the fold, and he's one of the main men already. There are too many main men at Leicester at the moment. Or so many, sorry. But he's, that to me was like the hallmark of, here I am, you know, I'm straight in here. I am part of this setup. And Leicester City are top of the league. He's competing at that level of football. And he's one of the, you know, main players at the moment. And he doesn't look or feel out of place. There's so many, you just feel like there's lots of big things to come for him in his career, hopefully for as long as possible with Leicester City.
Well, he's delivered a little bit of a scare to Leicester City. He's been away with the French under-21 squad, and he's been sent back with a knee injury. Now he's going to have a scan, and he's going to be assessed ahead of the trip to Liverpool in a couple of weeks' time. I know that a lot of fans were worried about this. I've got a feeling it might not be too serious. I've got a feeling we might see him at Liverpool, but I think, you know, you can't take any chances with the amount of games that are coming up. And I think probably the French FA have got a very sensible attitude to it. Why risk a more serious injury if he's got a niggle in his knee? Get him back to Leicester, get him some treatment. So hopefully there'll be some good news on that. And there's a number of Leicester players actually that I'm going to have a little break now, because as well as Fofana coming back with this little niggle that has upset a few people, it's we've also the fact that no senior players have been called up to the England squad. So Harvey Barnes and James Maddison, who, to be fair, has been fighting to get his fitness back up anyway, so probably wouldn't have been ready for the demands of international football straight on the back of a couple of games with Leicester. They're going to have a little break as well. But I know there was a few eyebrows raised, but Harvey Barnes was left out. And then Jude Bellingham was called in, and no Harvey. Do you think it's just Southgate wanting to have a look at Jude Bellingham rather than give Harvey another little look?
Yeah, I would say so, really. I think Harvey's time will come again, without a doubt, as it were with Maddison, really. And it's probably blessing in disguise, really, in terms of Leicester's point of view. And again, with Fofana, the fact that he's gone away and travelled initially and come back, that's a good sign, really, hopefully, I would say. Fingers crossed on that one. But it was Ward-Prowse who's had to leave the squad, so you're looking for a similar style replacement. I suppose that, you know, that's a not a get out but a reason for Southgate to bring Bellingham in, you know, similar style ish and an opportunity to sort of blood him, get him into the fold. So I haven't got too much of a problem with it. I think it's you look at it, and there is, like Leicester, there's a strength in depth with England now. But I don't feel that Maddison and Barnes will be ignored or as if they've been edged out of it for now. I mean, if things continue, then it's a different kettle of fish, isn't it? But I think Barnes, you know, got a mini opportunity, didn't he? And by all accounts, impressed in training. I thought he did very well when he came on in the game. Against Wales, wasn't it? And, you know, I think it sort of made his mark a little bit. And Maddison's yet to do that properly with England, although I'm sure he's shown his quality in training. But just the last game or two, he's, you know, when you see him, he's such a class act. You know, he's a proper footballer, isn't he? And,
oh, he is. It's great, yeah, to watch.
Yeah, exactly. Against Leeds when he came on, he did change the flow of the game, to be honest, and Leicester might well have seen it out anyway, but it just a touch of class or many touches with Klaassen recently. It's like he's coming back from the injury and just getting his proper fitness. But when you watch him, particularly live, you probably notice it more. But he's running the show. He's running the show the majority of the time. And, I've got no worries for either of them on the international front. There's quite a lot of competition for them, to be fair. But I'm sure in due course they'll both get more than a fair share and a good crack at the opportunities.
Well, one player that has gone away on international duty and has still got a niggle, and we saw it flare up at the end of the Wolves game, Johnny Evans seemed to feel that back problem again towards the end. In fact, he was in the wars, wasn't he? Because he also got a Christian Fuchs volley in the face as well at one stage as well. But there's a bit of news with Johnny that Leicester City have now opened talks with him over a new contract. Brendan wants to keep him for another few years, not just for his influence on the pitch and his performances, which have been outstanding. I mean, he played every game, started every game of the Premier League season last season, and was a fantastic performer. He was my player of the year, although he didn't win the award. I thought he was outstanding. But also, the role he's got in terms of helping the development of Fofana and Soyuncu when they come back as well. He's got a key role to play, Johnny, hasn't he? And I hope they get that contract sorted sooner rather than later.
I would imagine they will. I don't see too many issues. Johnny doesn't come across as an unrealistic individual, doesn't he? I think, you know, he'll know what the parameters are contract-wise, and I think it'd be pretty straightforward, wouldn't you? The club would be, both parties would be keen to get it sorted. So the only contention is you might be the length of contract, but Leicester are quite liberal in that sense, aren't they? You know, they don't mind backing their judgment on players. Reward players for their efforts as well. And, you know, it's a policy that's worked well for them, pretty much. You know, many of the players have signed contracts quite sharply as well. They just tend not to mess about, don't they? And, you know, they don't risk any situations developing, if possible. How old is he now, Johnny? Is it 32?
32. So I imagine 2 to 3 years they will offer him.
Minimum 2 years, wouldn't it? And possibly, with the way he plays it, he gets the odd injury or so, doesn't he? But you know, he's a good professional, looks after himself. Wouldn't be surprised if it was a 3-year, possibly. Although that's quite extensive at that age. Although I'm saying that, I got a 4-year at 32 all those years ago. I'm not quite sure how that happened, but I gleefully accepted, that's for sure. But times have changed a little bit, haven't they? Yeah, I don't see an issue with that at all. And what a strike that was by Christian Fuchs, by the way. It wasn't not even a half volley, was it? It was on the up. And in cricketing terms, it was on the up, smashed through the covers for 4, wasn't it? It would have been interesting to see. I think the goalkeeper actually had it covered, it looked like. But it would have been interesting to see how it would have finished up if Johnny had managed to get out of the way. But he paid the price for that, didn't he? He had a bit of spot of concussion by all accounts.
I know he was travelling, so I can imagine he did as well. But he's still reported for international duty, so hopefully he comes back in one piece.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside. To learn more.
A piece I've published this morning, I caught up with your old teammate. I think you only played with him briefly, though. Simon Grayson. Now, Simon was the manager of Leeds when Kasper Schmeichel was there. I remember it was one of the strangest transfers, his arrival at Leicester, that I can recall, because it was played out so publicly, that Leeds announcing that they accepted an offer from Leicester City, which we understand now was less than £1 million. And they sold him, with Simon coming out publicly saying that they were looking for a new goalkeeper because they were conceding too many goals, which inferred to us that Kasper Schmeichel wasn't good enough for them. But I caught up with him recently just to look back on that and to try and get to the bottom of it. And he basically said that he didn't really want to sell Kasper, but there was a situation where the Leeds thought they were going to lose him for nothing at the end of the coming year, because he'd only had a 2-year contract. You know, he's not surprised to see Kasper go on to have the success he has had. I mean, it's certainly a deal that has been to Leicester City's benefit and certainly not to Leeds' benefit. But Kasper's been such a fantastic signing, one of the best that I can imagine they've made for a very, very long time.
Interesting that Simon, or Larry, as we used to call him, for obvious reasons, has changed his tune somewhat. Certainly, publicly, he may well have had to sort of say that in terms of what the club was saying behind the scenes. But,
I think that was the case, Matt. I think he was probably... He had to do a little bit of a PR job at the time because he probably knew that there'll be fans a little bit upset about another player being sold. He had to say it. Probably didn't mean what he said at the time.
Well, he's going to say that now, isn't he? The way things have turned out. No, he's a good lad, Simon. And I did play with him for the half the season that I joined, 1997. It was in the January to the end of that campaign. He went off to Villa, but always got on well with him and always good to see him. These days, in fact, worked with him on a few occasions. But, it's strange how Kasper's career has gone, isn't it? Because way back before even Leeds, wasn't he at Man City? And then he went to Notts County, didn't he? Was that when Sven-Goran Eriksson took over there?
Sven was there. He's followed Sven around. Because obviously it was the third time that he'd joined a club with Sven involved when he came to Leicester.
Yeah, you always felt, I mean, without even seeing a lot of him in his younger days, he always felt there was a good keeper there, and not just because he's son of Peter. But what an acquisition he's been, isn't he? I mean, much is made of the recruitment from Leicester over the years, and he often gets bypassed, doesn't he, Kasper, because it was such a long time ago, basically, and but what a deal it was. And I spoke about him in the week. I was mildly disappointed to find out that it was his 34th birthday. not so long ago, because you want him to be around for longer. I'm sure he will be around for a good few years yet, but he's top quality, and we saw that against Wolves again, didn't we? Hardly brought into action at all. Neves pops up with one of his strikes from distance that he's become notorious for, and you thought, as it's going through the air, you thought, oh no, here we go. They've pulled it back, and Schmeichel comes flying across like Superman, doesn't he? And pause it clear, and what a save that was. Even better when you consider lack of action that he was called into before. But he's so reliable. He's a big character as well, isn't he, within the team? A big influence on the squad as a whole. And what £1 million that was spent.
Absolutely. Great piece of business. Now, all the stories I've mentioned are available on the Athletic website and app. You can subscribe for just £1 per week by going to theathletic.com/Leicester Pod. Matt, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to speaking to you again next week when we're going to be teasing a rather mundane game, isn't it? It's just a little trip to Anfield. Top of the table clashed, so to speak. I know Spurs are second at the moment, but they're the reigning champions. But they're up against the team that are leading the Premier League.
Yeah, all to play for on that game, isn't it? Leicester fans will enjoy the time in between, though, when they're sitting pretty at the top of the table. Hopefully Leicester will fare slightly better than they did last time when it was similar circumstances against Liverpool. But, an enticing prospect, that's for sure.
Well, we'll speak again next week, Matt. Thank you very much, and thank you to all you listeners.